just gets better and better every week.
I know. Gosh, I'm so looking forward to spring, and all my daffodils are poking up. The birds are chirping.
It's a party in your house, in your yard. It's like, what's that Disney movie? That's what it is.
No, not always, but it's looking pretty. I can't wait for spring. I'm going to plant my garden, but this time I'm not going to do it so early because I always get excited and plant it.
Right,
and then we have
couple
that
70
frost.
Degrees, and you think like we're done. And there's that one last winter blast to remind you who's in control.
Definitely. One last snap of winter and then everything freezes. So this year I'm going to wait. But I did put my seedlings under light. And
really?
So, yeah.
So you got a whole
operation going. Yeah.
Nothing simple at the Otto home.
Well,
is it?
I'm just hoping that nobody comes to stay with me anytime soon because the guest bedroom is now like
now
a
that with
nursery.
The lamps hiding.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Hanging from the ceiling.
Now they're on little clips, but I'll have to give you the progress of the garden as it comes along. I'm excited about our show today, Lee, because you know I love to eat. I love to cook. And I recently went to a great restaurant and met Tony. And I'd like to welcome him to the Atlanta Business Radio Show this morning. We have Tony from Urban Major League Chef Association. Welcome.
Good morning.
And Joy, you're here too. And I'm first of all, I want to hear all about how Urban Major League Chef Association started. And then I want you to tell us about how we met or tell everybody about how we met in the restaurant I'm talking about.
Well, Urban Major League got started in October 2010. We are actually launching on the 2011 on May is our launch date. Basically, its focus is really geared towards our mission is to bring minority chefs together nationwide, basically people who are underserved in the industry. What I mean by that is people of all walks of life, women, African-Americans, Latinos, just to name a few minority cultures out there that who are in the industry but are underserved. What I mean by that is professionally, not being developed professionally in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal is to develop the chefs into who they really are with brand imaging, marketing, consulting. We're going to be doing that for our chefs also. And that's one way we're going to actually work with our chefs nationwide.
And Joy, how did you get involved?
I met Chef at Cafe 458 as well, which is a great volunteer organization. We do brunch on Sundays. Chef brings in a Cracker Jack staff of culinary students to help him prepare gourmet brunch on Sunday. Very reasonably priced, and all the money we earn goes right back into the organization. That includes the tips because we are waited on, and the hosts are all volunteers. So every last penny that goes in goes right back to the organization. And I've worked there so many times where I've just seen people double their bill. Because it is such a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And the food is so good, and the service, and it is a great experience. So it's just open on Sundays.
Right, just open on Sundays. Our Sunday brunches, Monday through Fridays, we actually take the clients and we feed them breakfast and lunch. And they are transitioning out of. It's actually set up for where they're coming to get a job skill, they're getting some training. Just getting them, the name of our organization is called the Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency. Teaching people how to become self-sufficient in life, basically.
Okay.
So on weekends, it's open to the public. Actually, we just started a culinary program through Urban Major League Chef Association with the nonprofit. We teach classes Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays to a group of veterans there. So we're teaching them a job skill so they can go back into the workforce and get back on their feet.
Are you finding a lot of veterans in the Atlanta area now?
Yes, we have all our students are veterans, actually. It's a grant that we got from the government. It's geared towards veterans only right now.
Okay. And gosh, I mean, there's a big process in getting a grant. You've had to work pretty hard at that, I'm sure.
Yes, they did.
So during the week, walk us through what that looks like. How many meals a day and how many people?
Well, on average, per day is like 70 to 75 clients on average per day that we feed at one location over at the Cafe 458. And then we have another location called The Edge.
Okay. When you define a client...
Well, we call them clients. We don't call them homeless anymore because they're transitioning out of homelessness. They live in shelters. So we don't want to prefer to call them clients instead of, homeless people. So
they come in for three meals a day?
No, two meals
a
day.
Okay.
They like I said, they are referred to us through agencies.
Okay.
We don't just take them off the street. They actually refer through agencies, and we feed them throughout the, for breakfast and for lunch. Like for breakfast over at Cafe 458, and then for lunch over at the Edge.
Okay. Do they have to pay anything?
Nope. And all the food is pretty much donated, and they don't have to pay anything. It's actually a nonprofit, like I said.
But how did you get involved, and why are you so passionate about this?
Well, I do through culinary school. I went to Le Cordon Bleu, and I did a lot of volunteering while I was in school. I figure as a chef, I would love to give back to the community in a sense of volunteering. Well, I got in contact with the cafe back in July. They called me up and asked me to be the weekend brunch chef. So they contract out Urban Major League to be weekend brunch chef. So throughout the week, I just pretty much sometimes I do volunteer some of my time, but other times I am actually a paid chef for the weekend brunch.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your culinary experience. Have you cooked for anyone we might know of?
I cooked for a couple of celebrities in the area, some syndicated talk show hosts in the area.
Like Amiano.
Amiano. Yeah, right. Herself. She loved my shrimp and grits.
I did. And you know, I'm kind of tough on the
picky
shrimp and grits.
Right.
But next time I'm going to have to bring my own hot sauce.
Which
I usually do have a little thing of Tabasco in my purse. Right. But I think that day I came in even without my purse. I just had my credit card and my keys or something. But the shrimp and grits were very good.
So I worked at one of the number one country clubs in America for the last 10 years. Is down in it's called Cherokee Country Club in Buckhead, and worked under a certified master chef, and that was a good experience. And while I was in culinary school, I learned a lot from this certified master chef. And when I left culinary school, my first big client was an NFL player. He used to play for the New England Patriots. He was three-time Super Bowl champion, Rodney Harrison. He was a great client. And then I work with the Atlanta Housewives and a couple of other celebs in the area. So
you're like a personal chef? You go into their house and make them meals?
Or? Yeah, personal chef. I would go into their homes and make their meals for them. Or they might have private parties or events they want to have. And we would go in and prepare meals for them.
Do you like that?
Oh, I love it. It's a great experience in the sense of really understanding how that clientele operates and how to serve that clientele.
Right.
So our objective with Urban Major League Chef Association is to have workshops through our organization. Basically, the workshops will teach them on how to brand yourself. Like, for instance, you don't see this kind of chef jacket I have on right now. It's a denim chef jacket.
Right.
I had it made because it's different. It's going to bring about image and brand consulting.
Right.
Basically, we have different levels with the organization. I'm going to be actually doing pin levels also, gold, silver, and copper pin levels for our organization, representing the level of expertise,
experience
in the industry.
Now, when you're doing when you're working with somebody like Rodney Harrison as opposed to working in a restaurant, isn't it different skills needed for that?
Yeah, well, there's a big difference because you have...
Because he's a hard hitter.
You
don't want to mess up on his meal.
He loves to eat. He's a meat eater. When I used to, he loves protein. So,
right.
My prep time just for him and his wife would be 8 hours to prep his food.
Oh, wow.
A day before, and then go over and finish his food at the house. So we call that mise en place in our culinary world, meaning everything is in its place. So mm-hmm. when I go in, everything is set up and organized, and all I do is fire the salad or fire the steak dinner or the salmon. For instance, his wife loves salmon, so I made a salmon roulade for him, stuffed salmon with flounder, with a lemon butter sauce.
But you have to really get to know them personally to know what they like and what they don't like, and to never, put mayonnaise here and this person doesn't like mushrooms. Whereas if you have a restaurant, isn't it more like you're kind of dictating kind of the menu?
Right. A lot of clients decide what they want to eat. They have some special diets.
Right. And you got to be creative enough to kind of give them what they want, but still have the flavor and the nutrition that they're trying to get.
That's correct. That is correct.
That's special skill.
Yeah, no doubt. So tell us about the Housewives of Atlanta. I bet that was a little bit different.
It was different.
They're hard hitters too.
Well, Nene was my client in season one, and it was interesting. I never forget one situation. Her husband called me and said, "Hey, chef, I got a 911. I'm trying to cook something in the kitchen. Can you come help me out, fix this? Can you come change this? We got the camera crew coming. Can you come over to the house and just really, spaz it up?" And I said, "No problem." So I walk into the kitchen. I'm like, "What in the world? What is this?" I said, "Oh, you need to go get this, get this, and come back right quick. We're going to change this around. We're going to try to fix this chicken right here. I don't know what you were doing with this chicken. We're going to try to fix it." So it was real interesting. It's the demand is really good. The client, and they are sometimes hard to please.
Right.
Really?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. But it was a good experience.
I bet. Definitely.
So what do you like more? The restaurant where you're like, hey, this is my menu that I came up with and you're going to like this, or this, hey, I got to fix up somebody's chicken?
Well, I like a little bit of both because it's venture.
Right, you know? The variety.
It helps develop you as a chef to think on your feet. Mm-hmm. You're always kind of constantly evolving. You know?
Right.
You don't arrive. And you take these skills and you tweak those skills and you use them to your advantage.
Right.
To better serve your client and also to create an income for yourself and your family.
Sure. Well,
is the Urban Major League Chef Association just in Atlanta or is it all over?
Well, our goal is to be all over, nationwide. I have friends in L.A., New York, Philadelphia. I'm sending out email blasts. Our objective is to be nationwide. And the reason why is that the chefs are all over the world, all over the United States. People love food. So our goal is to take it to other cities and states.
And do you have to be a chef to join?
No, you don't have to be a chef to join. That's a good thing. We call a level called foodies. For instance, people who love to eat, love to have friends over, just to get togethers. You can also join as a foodie. And as a foodie, you can actually come to our workshops. We have hands-on workshops. We're going to have webinars and everything. So you don't have to be a professional chef to join. You can be a junior high student to be a member of our organization. We have, like I said, we have several levels. The first level will be the 3-year level, which is a chef who is in the industry, professional chef. And then we have the culinarian, who's like a junior culinarian. Then we have the professional culinarian and also the foodies. So you can join. Matter of fact, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for foodies.
Well, she's more than that. She'd be up a notch, at least.
Definitely love to eat and love to cook. Great sounding organization. I can't wait to watch this develop and catch up with you in a couple of years and see where it's gone. So, Joy, what is your role with the Urban Chefs?
I am the membership manager, so I'll be keeping everybody on track as far as keeping everyone's information updated so we know what their special skills are, and if we have jobs available, we can help place them in those jobs, answering any questions anyone has about the upcoming workshops and that sort of thing, and just basically any questions anyone has about the organization, such as if you have to be a chef to register or to join, because I think it is great that we're open to all different skill sets and all different levels, and that you can develop your amateur skills even if you're not planning on becoming a professional chef.
So you have workshops where you teach the foodie, is that what you do, or do you like cook for them and provide them food?
A little bit of both. We'll have hands-on, we'll have work with workbooks, we'll have webinars. I want to mention that we're offering scholarships to culinary students. We'll be offering eventually a retirement account to our members who are in our organization. Because I know as a chef in the industry that there's not a lot of retirement accounts geared towards culinarians. Because
right.
we're so transit, you know, jobs always, there's a high turnover in our industry.
Sure.
So my objective is to bring in a retirement account where they can invest into a retirement account as they travel to wherever they may work, or if they are self-employed or self-contract. And also we're going to offer eventually down the line, I want to offer seed money for people who want to go into business for themselves.
Wow.
You know, help them, you know, get on their feet and get them started in their career. And that's our goal. I mean, Le Cordon Bleu is my other model. That would be probably the launching pad. And we'll also most have our workshops there starting out in May. And our first workshop will be talking about who is Urban Major League Chef Association.
Mm-hmm.
And from there, we'll talk about the different types of workshops we're putting on. For instance, like Floridian cuisine, something like that, or how do you start an LLC, or how do you make edible arrangements, you know, stuff like that.
And is there a place we can go to see what the upcoming workshops are?
Well, we're actually going to be, what you can do is you go to our website, umlca.com, and on the construction page, once you put your email in, it'll respond to your email. And what happens is our marketing director will actually be sending out all updates of what's going on. Like, for instance, this coming Saturday, I'm going to be doing a judging contest at Georgia Tech. They have a tech club of chefs who like to cook. They called me up. They said, can you come judge breakfast, and can you come judge our desserts and lunch? I said, sure, no problem. So there's a lot of stuff we're doing right now before we even launch our
are you going to be like the tough judge or like the nice judge?
We'll see how good the plate presentation is, and all is about presentation also, because a lot of times people eat with their eyes first. You know?
Yeah, you're right.
It's what you see. And sometimes it can taste bad, but if you eat with your eyes first, you'll tell your brain is good and it's really not that good. But,
but it looks good.
But it looks good.
Oh, what fun that will be. Is this a first-time event for Georgia Tech?
This is a first-time event for Georgia Tech. And
that's
also
a great idea.
We're working on another project called Acoustics Jazz Cafe. Urban Lit Major League was contracted by another company to put together a menu and staff the restaurant. So that's another project we're working on also.
And when is that opening?
The projected date is the 24th of March, March okay. 24th, 25th. It's going to be down off of Marietta Street and Northside Drive.
Is it all local talent?
No, it's not going to be all local talent. My job basically is to get the food together.
Right.
All our meals will have like names like Count Basie, you know, Shrimp and Grits, or, you know, the John Coltrane New York Strip, you know, Billy Holiday, Halibut or Salmon, just to name a few. And my favorite thing would be the desserts, of course. I have a vanilla bean bread pudding made out of ciabatta bread, and of course, our famous Krispy Kreme donuts is going to be really good.
My stomach's growling.
Is that your favorite part, is to come up with the menu?
Yeah, that's the most exciting part about being a chef, is creating
something
food.
From nothing?
Something from nothing. You know, just really creating dishes that you may heard of, you know, like, for instance, scallops with a cauliflower puree with a Meyer's lemon butter sauce. It just sounds wow.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you come up with these ideas?
Well, just reading a lot of books, trying out different types of flavors, you know, understanding the flavor profiles of food. That's the most important thing about being a chef, is understanding the language of the industry, understanding the food, how the food works. Like, for instance, shrimp and corn goes together. But what would you do with shrimp and corn? I have a appetizer I make. It's called a shrimp and corn crouton. So I take polenta, make corn polenta cakes out of it, take some fresh shrimp, corn, mix it together with some red peppers and onions, and put some tomatoes in there, put some cherry grapes in there, and put that on a crouton. And the flavor profiles are, like, amazing.
Oh, yeah, sounds great.
Take a puff pastry, put duck confit inside a puff pastry, make a neutral vinaigrette, something like that.
Mm.
So these are like things that have never existed. You just think of them, and then you're able to make them?
Some are from other chefs I work with.
Right.
You know, ideas, or you kind of tweak it, make it your own, you own it yourself. So a lot of stuff, like the grandfather of cooking, we call it the escoffier, a lot of things are evolved from the escoffier cookbook. So a lot of times, it's like the Bible of cooking, basically. Our 21st century, 19th century chef, that's what we learned in culinary school about escoffier, French culinary cooking, a lot of French dishes and cuisine comes from, you know, France.
Right.
Joy, do you like to cook?
Oh, I am a big cook. I wouldn't say chef because I don't have any formal training, but I grew up in the restaurant industry myself. My parents met in a restaurant in D.C., and I started working for my dad in a restaurant when I was 11 years old.
So what's your signature dish?
Well, I was telling Chef, what I just made last night was crab stuffed portobello mushrooms with the caprese salad that had fresh basil, mozzarella, red onions, tomato, and
she's a foodie.
balsamic vinaigrette infused with pomegranate. So,
oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to taking these workshops myself as well.
You definitely know the sign of a foodie when you look at their phone and they don't have pictures of their kids, but like what they made for dinner last night.
That's me.
Honestly, if I showed you my phone, last night I made salmon. I actually had grilled salmon, and then I made Israeli couscous, and I made a quinoa salad with pomegranate seeds. And, you know, yeah, it's all about the presentation, but I did. I took pictures of it because it was so pretty. Like, who takes pictures of their
food? That's her Facebook
foodies.
Profile.
Yeah, right. But it is so much fun to experiment with, and what a great gift you're giving to others by sharing your talents, especially in the generous way that you do with your volunteer work, Chef. I mean, that's very admirable.
Well, I'm very big on volunteering. You ever heard of Up With People?
Very familiar.
I was with Up With People back in, remember Whitney Houston sung in the Super Bowl? I was there on the field singing the pregame show.
Oh, gosh.
Went to Australia, New Zealand, Canada, Mexico. I had a blast. Up With People, we did a lot of give back around the world, so it was I was like 19 years old.
I had two friends from high school. I went to high school in Kansas, and I had two friends from high school that went into Up With People, and what a fabulous experience. And then when I lived in Chicago, they came to Chicago to perform, and I saw them. What a great show.
Up With People, it was a good experience. I mean, I loved it. I'm from Philadelphia, of course, my hometown.
I don't know that I'll get that song out of my head now that you mentioned it.
Singing in Spanish, Viva la Gente.
Wow, so that's interesting. How long were you with the Up With People?
The program, we traveled for 1 year as students. It's about 130 students from 30 different countries. We had a 26-ton stage, did a two-hour musicals tour. And the crazy part was we went to Mexico, And they warned us in before we went that Mexico really loves up with people. Mm-hmm. They treat you like groupies.
Right.
So I mean, I never forget we were rehearsing one time, and they had these all the people outside looking through the window like we were like in a zoo or something, like looking like it was like, oh my God. They had the Mexican army protect us. We had a crowds of 30,000 to 40,000, and we would have to run out into the audience during the end of the show, during the halftime, actually end of the show, and sign autographs. So I would sign crazy autographs. President of the United States.
No.
So it was a good experience.
So some Mexican person's got that on the wall.
That's right. We're trying to sell it on eBay, I'm sure.
President of the United States. It was a good experience. We did a lot of volunteering. We worked in a lot of soup kitchens. What I like about other people is that we stayed in families. We didn't stay in hotels. And when I was in Mexico, I stayed with a family who lived in an alleyway with a tin roof. It rained and rained. We had the option to stay there, but and then we all had option not to stay there. I said, I want to stay. I want to experience the culture.
Right.
Experience the
lifestyle.
How was
the food?
The food is amazing. Yeah. And the crazy part was, I would stay at these families. They didn't speak any English.
Sure.
So
mm.
The one mom said, you speak Spanish, no eat. Big guy, I said, okay, see. So I had to learn Spanish quick, how to eat. Mucho hombre. So it was a good experience. Up with people, I recommend.
And that was before you were a chef?
Before I was a chef. That's how I learned how to become. I actually, when I traveled up with people, I decided to really embrace culinary arts because of the culture, the different food mm-hmm. that tastes yeah. around the country.
That was a wonderful experience that, you know, the majority of the people never get to see that.
Right, yeah. It's an excellent experience. You know, I stayed in Arizona. Well, they was in Arizona at first. Stayed in Arizona, and it was a good experience. I mean, Albuquerque was a good experience. So that's when I came back and said, I want to go into the culinary field.
Right.
I want to become a chef one day. So before I went into the culinary field, I was actually working as a restaurant manager or a line cook or
right, so you've been in the industry, but this right. took it to another level.
Right.
So, again, tell us the name of the jazz place that's opening and the location so we can keep an eye out for that.
It's going to be Acoustics Jazz Cafe. It's going to be off of Northside Drive and Marietta Street. It's opening up March 24th.
Okay. And if folks want to join you for Sunday brunch, give us the information on that.
Come see me on Sunday. Come get some great tasting shrimp and grits or actually a Southern Comfort French toast. It's stuffed with Southern Comfort mm-hmm. alcohol. A cream cheese, a triple jelly with a mint compo on top at over at Cafe 458. You go to www.cafe458atlanta.com and check out our menu. We do specials every week. So come see me.
And if folks are interested in learning how to volunteer, is that information on the website as well?
That information is on the website as well. They can call Allison. She's in charge of our volunteers. Over at the Atlanta Center for Self-Sufficiency. So you can go online and look that up.
And the volunteers are for the wait staff?
Wait staff, kitchen staff, hostess.
And what's the ages to volunteer?
Ages varies. All depends on consensual parents. Consensual, I believe.
Right.
I'm not sure the ages, but most of our people are either like college students.
Teenagers?
So, like 15 and up. It seemed like the time I was there were quite a few girls there from Georgia Tech.
Yeah, Georgia Tech.
Right.
We have a lot of volunteers from different schools or organizations.
Yeah.
And they don't just need volunteers on Sunday. They also need volunteers that will cook and serve the clients during the week, Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. So if you're not available on Sunday, the hours Monday through Friday are 9 to 12. And it's great just if you happen to have a random day off of work to set it up to volunteer. It takes such a little bit of time, and you can really see how much these folks appreciate it.
So those that are listening, individuals, how can they help promote the Urban Major League Chef Association
right.
as well?
What do you need?
Yeah, what can we do for you?
Okay.
I think it's mainly just letting everyone that you know of that's a food lover know about us. I know that since I've been working in the restaurant field in Atlanta, I've got contacts all over, and I've been trying to spread the word because this isn't just give us your money and get a pin. We're actually really trying to help culinarians develop their professions and become independent and continue educating themselves so they can remain at the top of their game and up on all the latest techniques and such.
And also to help support the community by giving back, by volunteering through the culinary experiences, you know, taking their tools and their gifts and their talents and helping out nonprofit organizations, helping out churches, helping out wherever they can help out at as a professional culinarian. Basically, our goal is to empower chefs, students, and foodies with the right tools to build a professional business brand image of themselves nationwide.
Okay.
Sure. What if a person's a foodie and just wants to have the experience of having these people cook for them? Is that part of this?
Yeah, we have a service called Chef Temp Service, where you can actually, what we're going to be doing is uploading business profiles of all our members who are in the industry, who are self-employed or are trying to become right. self-employed, and they can actually...
So they can be hired.
They can be hired, yes, through our organization, yes.
That's great. I hadn't thought about that, Lee. That's a great question because I'm sure there are a lot of folks that like to entertain and like food but don't want to go through the whole process of making it themselves. So
right.
that's a great idea.
That's what we're here for.
Wonderful. I got to ask you, what's your favorite Food Network show?
Here we go.
Favorite Food
He's
Network show?
He probably doesn't even watch that.
I know you have one, Joy.
The Great Food Truck Race.
Oh, I love that.
I've never seen that.
That was amazing. That was awesome. I am so glad that we're finally starting to get food trucks in Atlanta. So many other major cities have them already. And that's one thing that I'm definitely going to be looking into and helping to keep us in touch with the food truck community. Right. And also, I just saw last week...
Something happened, right? Didn't they kick a bunch of them out?
There were a few that didn't have their permits.
Right.
But I also saw right in downtown Atlanta between North and Ponce, a whole neighborhood shut down for a film shooting. I think they might have been doing Vampire Diaries there. There's been a lot of that in the area. And I saw later on Facebook that one of the food trucks was out there feeding this cast. So, yeah, those are two big things that are coming to Atlanta that we really need to keep an eye on as food trucks and all the movies and TV shows that are being filmed here and how they're going to need on-site catering as well.
Right. Mm. All right, Chef. You're not getting off the hook.
I guess my favorite Food Network show. Actually, probably wouldn't be Food Network. I think Hell's Kitchen is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
You like that?
Yeah.
That's realistic?
I'll sometimes. I had a chef who acted like that before, like at a catering company I used to work for. Yeah, it's interesting because I was talking to a client of mine who wants to teach our workshops on counseling. Because, you know, this is a high-stress job, you know.
Right.
So how do you cope with the chef yelling at you, I need it now, right now, right, it's coming. You said it was coming 3 seconds ago. I need it now. So it's that's a reality because a lot of times people go to culinary school, think it's all the glamour and glory. It's not glamorous and glorious sometimes, but it is what it is, but you make it what you make it, you know.
Right.
So I like Hell's Kitchen. I like Gordon Ramsay. That's one of my favorite chefs. So
I've been watching Chopped.
I love Chopped.
Yeah. Have you seen that? Where they
Chopped?
That's a good one too.
That's good.
Yeah,
that's,
I like the whole secret ingredient thing. I just like to see how creative
the pressure,
people are.
Man.
Yeah, it's
they
important.
Got that clock ticking.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I can't imagine cooking with a time limit. I am such a leisurely cook. You know, one of the Rachel Ray 30-minute meals will take me an hour and a half just because I'm taking my time. So.
Right. Yeah. It's funny you say because I had a guy interviewed last week. He took a written test. He passed a written test. He can do a mystery bath. So I gave him a mystery bath. And he said. I was like, I see how your food tastes, man. You got an hour to get it done. So, yeah, hour?
That's a great idea.
Hour or so.
So he had to watch a Food Network show to figure out what to make, and then he had to make it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I gave him a chicken breast, I gave him two chicken breasts, a potato, avocado, red peppers, onions. I was all right, make
and then
me a,
something crazy, right?
Like, yeah, you make like me a dish.
And a stick of licorice.
Yeah, Captain Crunch or frozen waffles. Yeah,
Captain Crunch. Yeah, frozen waffles.
Yeah, so. I always like how they throw things in there. I mean, there's ingredients I've never heard of before. I have to look them up. But yeah, I do like that.
And then the chef like tastes it because they don't. They they've never heard of it, and then they got to kind of figure out a way to make it work. Like you said, that what is it? Taste profile or food profile?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, palate taste profile, okay, food profile. See if it blends together. They don't go together.
Well, maybe you guys need your own reality.
Yeah, you should be filming this stuff. You gotta be filming this stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. They're always looking for content.
Yeah, I'm thinking about doing a reality TV show eventually called the, I don't want to say it on air, somebody might try to steal my idea. So I keep that to myself.
Is it food related?
It's food related, but it's an interesting idea. I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
It's going to combine up with people and food.
Singing a dance.
Up with people eating food. That's what it's going to be.
Actually, that would be a lot of fun. Wow. We could talk to you all day long. Can you tell? I mean, Leah, every once in a while I have to glance at the clock and go, oh, wow. Yeah, I could talk to you all day long, Chef. Enjoy. What a pleasure. Thank you so much for being with us today. And if you can give your information or a website one more time for our listeners. And
The website is www.umcla.com, and we also have a Facebook page that you can become our Facebook fan, and we'll keep all the updates posted there as well.
Or you can go to www.majorleaguechef.com also.
Excellent. Y'all, thanks for being our guest this morning.
Thank you so much for having us.
Made me hungry, Lee.
I know.
It seems like we've had a food guest.
You got to tell, from now on, anybody with food's got to bring food. Dude, that's
how it works.
That's a fair rule.
The fresh-to-order guy, the cookie guy. Right. I mean, we've had a lot of guests recently, and they come and they make us all hungry.
I know. They got to bring food. That's a rule.
I'll bring some food. We'll make some shrimp and grits for you.
Gosh. Now my stomach's really growling. That was so good. Our next guest this morning is here to give us some advice. Welcome to the Atlanta Business Radio Show. We have Katie from Books to Tax. Welcome.
Good morning, and thank you.
So, Katie, tell us, what is Books to Tax?
Our main focus is on the small to medium business owner. We're, like they mentioned before, the underserved. We also feel that's the same thing in our small communities. We're up in the Milton area, Duluth. We also have some business down in South Atlanta. So right now we're focusing in the Atlanta market for the small business owner. That's the $1 million to $10 million to $20 million. It may actually be a startup, or they could have been in business 2, 3, 4 years, but now realize they need someone to do their accounting service work. They've been providing their information to their CPA or to prepare their taxes, but they need that now. That maybe it's monthly financials, quarterly financials. So we're trying to help them be able to grow and be a financial business partner, and for them to think of us not as a cost, but as an investment. How do we add value? What you have to remember when you're the small business owner, the next thing you want to do is be looking at lending, could be SBA loans. We have to have your financials in order. For women, we're also looking at the women's business. It's the WeBank here in Atlanta that we could help you set up that process. So again, to be an advisor, be a consultant, be a contract CFO. When a small business owner starts thinking, I may need a CFO, that's exactly the time they do. But we'll come in, instead of being the burden of a full-time CFO, we'll come in and on site 1 to 2 days a week, but also virtual. That's big today, your virtual communications, GoToMeeting, the WebEx, Extranet, to share data. But we can be there without having to be with you 5 days a week, but we're always can be there for you on call. And we get your book set up from the beginning, first-time in-house accounting. Taking you from Excel, maybe it's QuickBooks, maybe it's something else, the web edition, but getting that set up so you can do your reporting so you, the owner, manager of a business, can focus on what you do best. So we want to help you succeed in that. Actually, looking at the chef people here, they should bring food, and actually that's just something we would love to be helping in, is, again, those that are startup. Again, you could be 7, 10 years old, but you haven't really been having the need to report your financials. We're seeing in the last few years, it's the small business owners that are really going to bring us back from, let's quote, recession, mini depression, to come forward. And I think with our communities, even in North Atlanta, we're looking at Sandy Springs, Milton, Johns Creek, all these small incorporations. And that's why we want to give back to the community to network, socialize, and be with our local community. So yeah.
Definitely. And it is interesting because that's not business owners. That's not always their forte. You know, the finance part. I know it's not mine.
Exactly.
Definitely
try to
not.
Avoid doing this.
Yeah, exactly. You know, some people actually balance their checkbook, Lee.
Really? Mm-hmm. I don't. Not me.
I know. That's why we need someone like Katie. So how are you typically contacted by someone? Are they usually already feeling pain?
Right. Yeah. What's the pain that they got?
I think usually they are, as I mentioned just briefly, some of them realize, you know, we may need even a $20,000 loan, or how do I go get a loan? And a lot of times you need to be getting that before you're really hurting. I mean, you may be painful thinking, what do I do the next step before you can either pay your own bills or a client. You have to stop and think when you're a small business owner, you have to be funded well enough to actually do a project for a client. It's going to cost you some money and
right.
them too. So usually that pain is that they're not properly set up to even go to the bank or to a small lender.
So would it be okay for the business owner to just come call you up and then just give you a big box of receipts and paper?
Here's my stuff.
Right, like
absolutely, they can. If we can get their bank statements, give us a box of stuff, we'll get it organized for them. We'll figure it out. And then we'll help them going month to month. And some of those, like I mentioned, they don't need someone in there 40 hours a week, but they need someone as a business partner, advisor, and to help them. It could be 1 or 2 days a week, but we're there to help them any day.
What are the mistakes you see these business people? Is it just the not planning ahead, like kind of not preparing while things are good?
Exactly. Because I think when you're going well,
you just think you're going well
you're
forever.
You're going well, right? And honestly, cash is still king. You can, even if you're not keeping your own books and maybe you're not balancing that bank account, but you're looking at the bank account.
And as long as there's a positive number, everything's good.
That's right. Everything's good. But then when something comes along, and again, it could be the small one, don't mean to just plug, but American Express used to tell everyone, you know, we're there to help you. But some business owners don't even have their first credit card. And that's one of the things I encourage. Get that debit card. Get that credit card. It could be a $500 limit up to $1,000. Get that first one to start developing credit. When you go to order something, try to get someone that even at first would accept a purchase order. Mm-hmm. Could you want to establish credit? Because that's the beginning line.
As a business or as an individual owner?
Well, even as the business, because usually if you're single LLC, sole proprietor, you're going to have to guarantee that. But you do need to start that, but put it in the business name. Even with ourselves as Ashcraft Opperman, I have the business card, credit card in the name of the company.
Oh, not you personally?
And not just me personally, no, sir.
Even though the business might pay it off every month?
Correct. So you actually want the credit card, the debit card, your bank account. Please have that in the business name. Separate your personal from the business,
right,
and run everything through there.
Good advice. Well,
see that? That's
what are some other hot tips that you can share
You're
with our listeners?
Down?
Can you tell? What else? What else?
I think the other time is some people try to figure out, is it time to incorporate? We just heard from the chef over here, their nonprofit organization. But you, even if it's yourself or two others, should it be an S corporation, an LLC? We can help you to decide on that because there's some benefits for both.
Like, okay, what's the pros and cons of an S versus an LLC in your mind?
For an S corporation, generally, the limitations are cannot be more than 100 shareholders. I don't think many of the small ones incur that. An S corporation, people have to remember, is a small subchapter of a C corp. That means you have to have or should have board members. You should have minutes. You should have monthly financials. An LLC, it's a little more lax, but it's still that limited liability company. It's nice if you have a board of advisors. You can be member managed. You're not required the minutes and all of the
right,
very careful taking, but you know you should still run the company that way.
Sure.
Yeah, you can ask a question.
Can you convert a LLC to a nonprofit? Because we are a LLC.
Yes, you can. In fact, if even several of those that you can convert, but yes, you can, that it could convert because the easiest way is that you would then apply for a C corp status, but then be for a nonprofit domestic corporation, for example.
So, could the same company be nonprofit and for profit at the same time?
No. You would want two different divisions.
Two divisions, okay.
Yeah. Now, you could have the parent company and have your two different divisions.
Gotcha.
Because you're nonprofit, you have to keep all of those funds. That accounting is really very intense, like a fund accounting or nonprofit. You don't want to co-mingle those funds with anything else you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great advice. Gosh.
Yeah.
Maybe you need to come on like once every quarter and give our listeners some
hot tips. At
Amy's
house next to her box of receipts.
Yeah. I would certainly enjoy doing that.
Come have lunch down at Acoustics Jazz Cafe.
And do a trade maybe for some food, for some accounting advice, right?
We call that what, bartering?
Bartering.
Yeah. And with that bartering, you do have to book it on your books.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Really?
You absolutely do. An example would be that, or a painter, or someone says, well, I will paint your home, and the mechanic will fix the car. You're still supposed to recognize that income and offset that. And most of the time it's a handshake under the table, but you really aren't supposed to record that as an income and expense.
Wow.
You just did not exchange cash.
Okay. Exchange time. Huh?
Yes.
And the reason for that is that the government wants to keep track of that as income?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And if it was the full expense, it'll be a zero impact for taxes, because that's the next thing we do is books to tax, that we say we need to pay our fair share, but we want to be able to give you the tax advantages.
Mm-hmm.
And as I mentioned before, if a home business owner merely just turns in their receipts to the CPA at the end of the year, they've already missed the whole year for planning for any taxes. I liked what you said before. If we have profits, let's turn it back around inside our own company. Your company, try to grow it, and also do what you're doing as some volunteer, because I think we need to get back to the community. That's networking, and when you're sharing with the others, you're learning a lot and giving back to the community in many ways.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Now it
now
is.
You're scared, Amy.
I am because but right now, guess what's happening at my in my
oh,
office?
That's right. It's that time
all,
of year.
Yeah, I'm pulling all my receipts together and getting ready to give everything to the accountant. And I probably have missed a full year of one of those where you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what kind of credits and what kind of advantages there are unless that you work with someone
on
like
a regular
yourself.
Basis. Right.
Right. Right. Definitely.
And this year, I believe it will be the last for the prior year that there is that work credit for the small sole proprietor and the small business owner. It's either $800 or $900. So that's still this year, but I believe this is the end of that.
And what is that? What did I miss?
When you're a small business owner, because you're giving back to like the community, there has been a work credit for the past 2 years because you either employ, you know, only a few employees and you're a small business owner.
Right.
And they've been encouraging that because I still think that's going to be the mainstay and what's going to bring us back in this economy.
What do you think of, I know they were talking about any, for a small business, any person you pay over $600 or under, before it used to be over, but now they're saying any amount, you have to give them a 1099?
That is correct. This year, for the prior year filing, is the last year that you will really report a 1099 for subcontract services for 600 and under, and it was for people that are individual social security number. This past year, even if you're an LLC with an EIN number, which is a tax identification number, you do not have to submit 1099s. Next year, it will be different. You would report, unless they can come up with a change in legislation, and they're actually
I'm
fighting
sure
that.
They're going to change that.
They
it's
have
ridiculous.
To. But can you imagine the small business owner having to issue a 1099 to everyone, including Walmart,
right.
Costco, if they purchase goods?
Wow.
No, that's crazy.
You now need a full-time accounting staff in a large
that's
firm.
Every transaction almost, you would have to be 1099. And then that means they got to take this piece of paper and do something with it,
that
too.
That is correct. Even a gas station, they were mentioning. Right. You go and use a credit card at a gas station. You now have to ask that gas station, what is your tax ID number? Because I'm going to need it to report because I had over $600 of gas at that gas station.
Are you kidding me?
No.
Serious. That has been one of the cited examples that seemed foolish.
It was buried in the health care reform.
Yes, it was.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, in the health care, and I don't know what
the
was related.
The was, I have no idea what they were thinking about.
I think they were trying to come up with a way that all income, small income is reported so that they would have taxable reported income to help subsidize the health care.
Right.
Yeah. Man. Wow. That's a whole topic for another time.
Right. Tax laws, I tell
crazy.
You.
No, but that's a burden on the small business person.
Huge.
And that's
huge.
Why somebody like Katie is so valuable because it's like you said, it is an investment because it just.
You should get your car, Katie.
Yes, we will exchange cards, please.
Right. Yeah, for sure. And Katie, how can people get in touch with you if they're listening and they're thinking, wow, I do really need someone to help me on a part-time basis or on a contract basis?
We also do have a website. It is books2tax.com. That's the number two, so it's books2tax.com. We also on there have a little survey or little form that you could fill out to say that you'd like for us to contact you, has our contact information. We'll be glad to get back with you. We're also going to be in several seminars coming up shortly, like workshop seminars for small businesses. And we'll be working with Dan Barnes, Aussie Consulting, and it may be on some Saturdays so that those that do work, even full-time as a business owner, or it may be a weekday. But we look forward to working with him and also doing some hands-on and discussion with small business owners.
That's great.
Yeah, that is great. And that information will be on your website as well?
Yes, it will.
That's great.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, gosh. I always listen to these, Lee, and listen to the finance folks and realize how little I know.
Right. It's like they're speaking another language.
Do you really feel that way, or are you just humoring me?
Really. I'm like, that's well out of my comfort zone.
Definitely not my forte.
It's not my sweet spot.
No, I'd rather create
or
cook or just work and not have to think about all the books and the finance and the tax and all that. Amazing. I hope our listeners will contact Katie. Great guest today, Lee.
Yeah, really interesting show.
Very interesting. Until next week, I'm Amy Otto with the Atlanta Business Radio Show. Have a wonderful week.